Chapter 16. Johnsy struts over as if I called his ticket number on a 50-50 raffle. "I always knew I liked you," he says. "Let's go, sis. We're burning daylight." "Can you follow me to Granny June's? Then I'll ride with you," I say. We arrive at Granny June's house on the satellite reservation on the south end of town. Half the homes on the res are cookie-cutter houses, part of a federal housing project funded by Housing and Urban Development in the 1970s. The other half are what everyone calls per-cap mansions. Ordinary but nice homes that, contrasted with the nondescript HUD homes, make the street look like a suburb where the moms take turns hosting Tupperware, Mary Kay, and Longaberger parties. The two neighborhoods are a before and after of tribal economic prosperity. Granny June lives in the before neighborhood. Breaking in the driveway sharply enough for the tires to shout for Lily again, I share a bittersweet smile with Granny June. I hold out the Jeep keys for her, still clasping the tobacco pouch. She wraps both hands around mine. The key ring becomes a pearl in an oyster. "I went to settle up for Benezekwe's funeral, and he said it was taken care of already." Hearing Lily's spirit name, I look down at my jeans. She continues in a voice as soft as I've ever heard from her. "You didn't need to use your Junya for that, Miigwech. And for being her friend, gee, Miigwech." She squeezes her hands like a hug. "I want to see this Jeep tooling around town, on campus, at the mall, across the river, on the ferry. Can you do that for me, my girl?" I nod. The lump in my throat bobbles as well. Johnsy's voice startles me. "Come on, sis. I've got women to woo and bets to place." He taps his watch dramatically at my open window. I laugh. He's been married to the same woman for 50-plus years and plays poker for dimes. Granny waves me off when I get out to walk her to the front door. "You be careful at that bad place," she calls out. I follow Johnsy's powder-blue Lincoln Town car with the Fry Bread Power bumper sticker. The old landfill site, several miles south of town, is bordered by a small parking lot, a creek, and a forest of birch and black ash trees. He opens his trunk to reveal a mini workshop of plastic storage bins arranged like a Jenga masterpiece. Each blue lid is labeled in TJ's distinctive block lettering. Johnsy retrieves the bin for his collecting adventures. Treasure hunting. Bandolier bag, magnifying glass, storage bags, backpack, disinfectant wipes, dish towels, gloves and masks, antiseptic spray, bottled water. He slips the wide strap of a well-worn brown leather bandolier bag over his shoulder before putting everything else into the oversized backpack. I need to adjust the backpack straps from their maximum allowance to fit me. TJ must be his grandpa's usual collecting buddy. Johnsy rolls his eyes while handing me a pair of latex gloves and a breathing mask. TJ must have ingrained safety precautions into his reluctant grandfather. "Stay here, good pony." He pats the hood of his car as we begin our adventure. The landfill is haphazardly arranged in reverse chronological order, with the newer junk toward the road. Mattress stains are still identifiable, black garbage bags are shiny, console televisions molt their veneer, a dollhouse with furniture inside. Why would anyone throw away? Nope, not going to follow that thought. Johnsy has no interest in the easily accessible stuff. He must know every acre, because he quickly leads me through a trail visible only to him. Maybe time warps here, because he crosses the uneven terrain on nimble feet that align with the stories of his boxing days. Meanwhile, I stumble like a toddler past the different decades of junk. The silence should feel tranquil, since we are away from town and the highway. Instead, it's unsettling. Accompanying Johnsy was such an impromptu decision that I didn't think about putting any gizhig in my sneakers. I need to be a smarter secret squirrel going forward. Maybe Johnsy doesn't care for the stillness either, because he starts humming. Once we reach his intended destination, he gives instructions. "Now we're looking for old glass bottles that have raised writing or designs. No broken ones. Colored bottles are good, too. If they still have a hat, that's even better. A hat? A cap, he says in a tone that, if Perry had said it, would have been followed by, duh. John Z resumes humming and pokes around piles of junk. Soon, his sounds grow lyrics, Finnish folk music from his mother's side of the family. He grunts while lifting a huge piece of corrugated metal and heaving it aside. Grandpa John Z, I could have helped with that. And shouldn't you check for spiders first? His look matches the duh of his bottle cap answer. Sis, do you think anything living stays around here? That is why it's so eerily quiet. No birds in the trees, no insects. I haven't swatted an oceum once, not a single mosquito. These birch trees, with their scars of fungus resembling burnt charcoal, will never be harvested for the medicine within the chaga. The black ash trees will never be pounded with a mallet to loosen the layers that hold a story for every year. No one will split their bark into thin strips, soaking some in berry or flower-dyed water, before weaving the black ash into exquisite baskets. Instead, these trees absorb contaminated groundwater and breathe virulent fumes. The Sioux is an old town, hey? He resumes poking around for glass treasures. Factories and farmers hauled their mowin here before the EPA and OSHA and whatever alphabet soup of laws said they couldn't. People who weren't thinking seven generations ahead ruined the ground. No bugs. Birds won't stick around if there's nothing to eat. Spiders neither. The four-leggeds got the sense to avoid it, too. If they don't hang around here, maybe we shouldn't either, I say. He swats the air in my direction. Eh, now you sound like TJ. He stands, stretching his still formidable wingspan. You two were quite the pair. Didn't last long, though. There's no way I'm blabbing about his pride and joy dumping me. I've moved on. Silent about it, he shakes his head. Just like him, too. The bottom of a brown bottle angles from the ground like an iceberg. I use an old license plate to carefully excavate it. As I rub the glass with the wipes, bumps become raised lettering. Hey, Grandpa Johnsy, this one says, Warner's Safe Kidney and Liver Cure. As I walk over to show him my find, I glimpse a stretch of grayish cloud in the southwest direction. The sky beneath the shelf cloud is dark teal. We need to get back to our cars, I warn. Squall coming in. He stands and sniffs the air, nods his head. Let's get away from the trees. Walk back along the creek, he says, placing the bottle inside his bandolier bag. I feel like an owl, turning my neck to check our pace against the shelf cloud. John Z's agile steps remind me of TJ on the football field. He sidesteps a single black garbage bag at the edge of the creek. I zero in on it. Wasn't the newer junk supposed to be closer to the road? This bag, still shiny, is fresh. The hair at the nape of my neck stands on end an instant before my brain registers the whiff of... Travis's hand shakes, making the revolver jiggle. I follow the tip of the barrel pointed at my face. He stinks, meth rotting his system from the inside out, burning my nose. Hey, what are you doing? Johnsy's voice is like a phone call with a bad connection. His giant hand jostles my bad shoulder. The sharp pain jerks me from the memory. What's going on? He looks down at the bag, squatting to inspect it closer. Don't touch that. I push him away so quickly that he stumbles backward. Sorry, I'm so sorry. My words rush as I steady him. It's just that there's bad stuff inside that bag. It doesn't stink like dead body, he says, dusting off the back of his jeans. Should we call TJ? No, I bark. I don't know if the FBI is working with tribal police. Ron hasn't shared that information with me. I didn't think to ask. My mind scrambles for a plan. Let's just leave it and get in our cars before the storm hits. We need to get home. Once I'm inside the Jeep, I wave to John Z and go through the motions of following the Lincoln Town Car. When it's my turn to pull into the road, I wait for him to speed away. After he rounds the curve, I reverse and turn back to the landfill. I want that bag.